VanWee Financial is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein.
Welcome to the VanWee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3 The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Now here are your hosts of the VanWee Financial Hour, Stephen and Adam VanWee.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas. It is Saturday morning. It's 10 o'clock. It is Christmas Eve, and I did that for the sole reason that I want you all to know that we are here live, as always, as promised always, and actually in person, in color, if you stare very carefully at your radio dial. And we will be again next week, just separating us out from all those people that you might hear reruns with, which will happen for about the next 2 weeks probably. So there's no reason in the world not to tune into the show on Saturdays at 10, and we will be live. Welcome, everyone. This is the VanWee Financial Hour. I'm Steve VanWee.
And I'm Adam VanWee.
And we're going to have a little bit of fun today because, after all, it's Christmas. And why not? So if you want to call in and say Merry Christmas to us or somebody else, or you got a business running and you got people running through the store spending all kinds of money and you're listening to the show, give us a call and we'll give you a shout out and make sure you stay busy. Other than that, any topic that you want to do, it's always up to you. Callers get the first preference all the time. They go right to the head of the line. Most people don't do that, and most people don't come in live. So just a little tooting our horn time right now for Christmas time. You might as well give us a present, right?
Sounds good to me.
Okay. So we're going to start with a little word about the market, and I strongly suspect you're going to like the word. And I'll tell you a prediction I made last week that so far is true.
Okay. Before I get into that, I just wanted to say I got asked this week if we were doing a live show, and I said yes, and someone said, well, that's too bad. You have to work on Saturday morning, Christmas Eve, and I thought about it, and, you know, it's really not a big sacrifice. I just want to say there's thousands of U.S. servicemen and women overseas right now who can't be home for the holidays, giving up 2 hours of my Saturday seems very insignificant compared to the sacrifices that they're making, so thank you all.
I like that very much, and it's absolutely true. And besides, there's an old saying that says, it isn't work if you love it.
Exactly. This is the most fun that you can have working on a Saturday.
It is. Absolutely.
So we didn't hit Dow 20,000 this week. But we made
that was my prediction.
Yeah, but it hasn't come true.
No, but I said we would see it, but I said next week.
Yeah, we'll see.
Hasn't come true either because next week hasn't come.
Yeah, the Santa Claus rally, you never know.
You never know.
We did make a good run at it, and we may try again next week, but I'm not sure. In my opinion, I don't think we'll make it. Now, we differ on that one.
Okay,
so
good.
We shall see.
One of us will be right.
Yeah.
And I didn't say it'll close over 20,000.
Right.
I said it will hit it.
Intraday or something similar. The level of the market right now is considered very overbought. It's trading well above its moving averages, and there might be, I don't know, it just seems a little elevated right now, and I know 20,000 is just a number. It really doesn't mean anything, but psychologically, it's kind of a big deal. So we'll see if we actually do that.
Well, psychology and charts drive a lot of people's investments.
It's very true. Even a lot of the pros.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people try to stay arm's length from it, except when they look at a graph and they buy and sell based on that and some other esoteric concepts. We don't necessarily concur with that, but if it works for you, do it.
The markets did climb this week, but the majority of that came on Monday. The rest of the week, the market kind of trended lower and actually gave up some of the gains we did see on Monday. The Dow and the NASDAQ both rose about 0.5%, while the S&P gained 0.3%. For the year, the Dow is now up 14.4%, while the S&P is up 10.8%, and the NASDAQ is up the least at just 9.1%. However, that is well above what any of the experts were predicting for this year, and most of those forecasts were in the 2 to 4% range. So now is the time of year when everyone likes to make a prediction about the following year, but my advice is don't listen to any of them. They are just guessing and don't have any idea what will happen next year. And if you think I'm making that up, just go back and look at how many of those people predicted Hillary as your next president.
You got that right. Plus, if nothing major happens in the market this next week, the S&P is going to close right on its long-term average.
Yeah, which is right where it probably should be.
Yeah.
So commodities had another rough week, with oil and gold declining slightly and silver taking another beating, down almost 2.3%. However, silver is up nearly 13% on the year, but down substantially from its peak in early August, but about 24% down from there. Believe it or not, USO, the ETF that tracks oil and gas, is only up 5% year-to-date, although it is up about 45% from its February lows.
Wow.
That kind of surprised me. I thought it was up more, but it actually started the year just below where we are now. So, interesting.
That was a rugged couple of months.
Yeah. January and early February were not pretty last year. There was some pretty positive news about the economy this week, including an upward revision to the third quarter GDP number, some strong housing data, and durable goods orders all looking fairly strong. Personal income didn't look quite as strong, but it's still on a good trajectory. The GDP rate of 3.5% for the third quarter was slightly better than expected and the highest reading we've seen in 2 years. The gains in the revision came from personal consumption and business investment, while corporate profits were revised down. If we can sustain or improve upon this level of GDP growth in 2017, the market really might be able to justify its high P/E ratios. So I'm hoping that we can.
Got to get revenue growth.
Definitely. Both new and existing home sales numbers were released this week. New home sales increased 5.2% in November and now are up 16.5% versus a year ago. Existing home sales were up 0.7% in November and are now up 15.4% from a year ago. This housing market still has a ways to go before catching up with demand. We overbuilt houses for about 3 to 4 years during the housing boom, but have now underbuilt homes for the last 8 years. Builders still aren't keeping up with demand for new houses, and that is why you're seeing price appreciation.
A percentage home ownership is down quite a bit off of its peak, so we need to start getting that back, which means we need people to go to work.
Yeah, that and,
which
and buy homes.
Like it's going to start happening.
I think a lot of confidence in the housing industry was lost in 07, 08. So that
and rightly so.
Is affecting it. And so all in all, I think the housing market looks for a very healthy 2017, though. I'm very bullish on that.
See what Congress is doing to the banks, the big fines for the mortgage stuff? It was Congress's fault, and now they're putting these banks at gunpoint, extracting money for them for their role in doing exactly what they were forced to do by Congress.
So politics
goody,
as usual.
Goody, goody. Yeah, exactly. Drain the swamp.
Personal income was flat this month, but is up 3.5% since last year. It's not bad considering the lack of wage growth we have seen throughout the last 8 years. Consumption growth is actually outpacing income growth at this point, a sign that consumers are optimistic about their futures. And that's pretty much echoed in all the economic data about optimism and consumer confidence. The one weak point this week looked to be durable good orders, which actually declined by 4.6% in November. However, if you dug deeper into the numbers, orders outside of transportation, which is largely made up of aircraft orders, actually grew by 0.5%, which is a pretty strong number. So all in all, not too bad on the economic front.
No, that's actually quite good. You might say part of that is expectation driven, since consumers are like stock market investors. They always look ahead to see what kind of confidence level they're at. We do have a call on the line, but we also have music playing. So I'm going to let Adam give out the trivia question real fast. And as soon as we get back, we'll take the call. And that way we can give her a shot at the trivia question.
Sure. This trivia question is brought to you by Ken Bales with First Coast Alarm. And what I want to know is, what percentage of adults claim to have made an online purchase at this point in time? And it's a pretty big number.
Yes, it is. All right, Kitty, if you just hang on, we'll be right back and we'll either take your financial question or say Merry Christmas to whoever, and you can take a shot at the trivia question. So don't go anywhere. We will be right back. You are listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour live.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the Christmas Eve edition of the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And without any delay, good morning and Merry Christmas, Kitty.
Merry Christmas, Steve and Adam. I'm calling from the Mount Dora contingency.
Oh, wonderful.
Walton Kitty.
Wonderful. How are you guys?
We're great. We just wanted to wish you all a Merry Christmas and offer condolences on the death of your mother and Adam's grandmother.
Thank you very much.
Yes, thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome. I know it's a bad time of the year to have that, but
I don't know if there's really a good time.
No.
No, it just seems worse at Christmas.
Yeah, it does somehow.
But anyway, we're thrilled about the outcome of the election, and we're so happy that things are going well, and so we're just happy. We wanted to wish you all a Merry Christmas.
Well, I love hearing that. Now, Adam had a trivia question. You want to take a shot at it? First off,
sure.
Adam, what bracket do you want to put on that?
Oh, within a point.
1 point plus or minus. Okay.
Oh,
what percentage of adults have purchased?
I'm going to say 88%.
Ooh, you are not far off, but a little high.
I know.
and we'll tell you, once somebody gets it, we'll tell you what it was just a few years ago. And the change in the attitudes and methodology of the American public is quite incredible.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, I do some online surveys sometimes, and they ask that question.
Okay.
You know, how often do you do online searches and purchases? And mm-hmm. So I kind of figured it was high.
Yeah, it definitely is. Well, you say hi to Walt, the kids, and Merry Christmas to all of you, and we will see you in the new year sometime.
Yes, you will.
Good.
All right.
Take care. Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Don.
Hi, guys.
Good
How are you
morning.
Doing this day?
We are wonderful. How are you?
And the same as over here. We're having a wonderful Christmas and having our daughters with us for the first time in a lot of years. And are very pleased. But the reason I called is I just wanted to thank you guys for some really terrific advice over the past year.
Well, thank you.
And for your show in general, it's just been a very, very big help to me. And appreciate you guys and want to wish you a Happy New Year, and hopefully we're going to have a really good one this coming year.
Well, I think the optimism level in this country is well-deserved. The long national nightmare is almost over.
I think so.
If I may. And the people seem to have a better attitude. Everywhere I go, I am seeing happy people. That's got to translate into something good, I would think.
Happy people spending money.
Absolutely.
Happy people spending lots and lots of money. It's fantastic. Would you like to take a shot at the trivia?
Oh, I didn't even hear the question.
What percentage of adults have made online purchases? It's somewhere between 0 and 88%. 88 was too high.
I'm thinking probably about 58.
And that's too low. So now you've created the entire bracket. We appreciate it. Hey, thanks so much for the call. We are absolutely thrilled with the way this year turned out, especially after the 6 weeks from you-know-what that it started with. And it does give you a little pause sometimes, but it also teaches you lessons that you should not make long-term decisions based on short-term events.
Well, I've been in for the good and for the bad ever since 87, I think that if this country's going to do well, then our investments will do well.
I'm absolutely in agreement with that. So you take care of yourself. You doing anything special or just hanging around with the family for the holidays?
Just a very, very nice family thing.
Good. Well, I could rephrase that and say you are doing something special. You're hanging around with the family.
Yes, sir.
Doesn't get any better than that. I prefer it when they travel and I don't have to anyway. Especially this time of year. All right, take care of yourself. Thanks so much, and we'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Don.
That was fun. All right. The trivia question is still out there. We want to talk a little bit about a couple of different things here. Still about to get another call in, I think. So I'm going to tell you one thing right up front, and that is that I have a list, if we get to it today, of the 8 worst things to buy at the dollar store, and one of them is steak.
Ugh.
Now, if that doesn't give you some kind of a feeling inside. I don't know what will.
I could have told you that.
Meanwhile, good morning, Henry.
Yes, I'd like to guess.
Absolutely.
79.
Nailed it.
Yeah. You didn't even need the 1% bracket. It is indeed 79. He's very Merry Christmas. What's our prize today, Adam?
We have a $25 gift certificate to Angie's Grom. It's a breakfast mm-hmm. and maybe lunch restaurant out at the beach. It's right off of First Street. It is really good. Been there a few times. So I will get that out to you in the mail this week.
Very fine. If you don't have any other questions, I'll put you on hold, and we'll get your full name and address off the air.
All right. Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Well, thank you, and Merry Christmas to you.
So the reason we brought that up is that it's been a huge trend in shopping, particularly for the holidays. And I know that I did about 99% of my shopping online for this. I didn't even have to go to a store.
I'm trying to think if I went to a store.
Which was great. And that's changed a lot in the last few years, because in June of 2000, the same survey was done and 22% of those people polled had made a purchase online. So that's a huge increase in the last 16 years.
That is a huge increase.
Yeah, definitely. And actually, 51% of people have bought something using their cell phone, which mm-hmm. that wasn't even really a
that's
thing.
That's even more online. That's online to online.
Exactly.
Pretty neat. All right, I'm going to throw out a second trivia question, and the prize for that will be a big attaboy. And by the way, just because it's Christmas, all calls today are free. So, you know, you won't be charged. And we'll probably do that again next week and for the next 10 years after that, too.
Another little housekeeping. Last week, we forgot to give out the trivia answer. And the question was, I think, what was the longest time in between 1,000-point increments in the Dow?
Yep.
And the answer was 24 years.
And it came on the heels of the crash of 29. There were something like 45 new highs set that year. It got totally out of control. Collapsed, and it took 24 years to get back to a new high again. That is unusual, to say the very least. When we had the collapses later in the 80s and early 2000s and 2008, all that, it didn't take that long because it wasn't as overheated as it used to be back in those days. There's much more participation nowadays and much more information than there was back in the 20s. So things are different. Those numbers are basically just numbers at this point. I would not call them valid comparisons, just a simple point of interest. So that's my comment for the day. Other bad things to buy at the dollar store, and this is for various reasons. Batteries, they generally are not a real bargain in that they're generally not the really good kind, or they don't last. Canned goods. Now, when it comes to food and dollar stores.
But canned goods last a long time. I don't know why that would be a bad one.
Well, apparently the main reason is that they're fractional dollar things at most grocery stores. Like you pay 59 cents or 79 cents. You buy it at the dollar store, it's going to be a buck. So basically, it's not that you should be afraid of what's in it. It just isn't a really good idea for getting a good bargain.
Gotcha.
Gum is another one of those. Exact same reasoning, that it is usually cheaper to buy it somewhere else that doesn't have the fixed price thing. Hair and skin products. A lot of them are poorly formulated, have chemicals that can produce allergies and so on. Just not a real good idea. School supplies, I don't know how much I agree or disagree with this. I think if you shop carefully, it wouldn't be too bad. But a lot of them have shown some hazardous chemicals in there, too, and you don't want them around your kids, obviously. The steak I talked about just gives me the creeps.
We don't need to explain that.
No, we don't. Tools. Now, what kind of heat treating do you think you're going to get on your tools? If you're strong enough and you grab something and you twist it to open it, what's going to give? The nut, the bolt? Your wrist or the tool?
We somehow acquired a can opener from a dollar store a while back. It lasted for about three cans and then died.
Windshield washer fluid. A gallon of off-brand windshield washer fluid is a dollar. A gallon at Giant was twice as much at $1.99. But it isn't effective in the wintertime. Again, it's formulated, cheap, watered down. You have to have the proper viscosity been too long since I was in chemistry class. Anyways, it's got to withhold the temperatures that we can create. Not so much in Florida, but especially if you live up north. I remember it too well. We used to have to carry it with us. Yep. Bad. All right, we have got a couple minutes to tell people who we are when we're not here.
Sure, I can do that. We are Van Wee Financial. That is our day job. We're fee-only financial planners. We're located in Jacksonville Beach, but we're right off of Butler Boulevard, so it's easy to get to from everywhere in the city. No excuses for living in other parts of the city and not coming to see us. Our first hour consultation is always free. If you need to find us online, we're at www.vanweefinancial.com. And our phone number is 904-685-1505. Check our website often because we post a lot of stuff on there, including our blog. We update it twice a week. And we're also on Facebook at facebook.com/VanWee Financial and Twitter at Van Wee Financial.
Yes, and initial consultations are always free with us. We are fee-only financial planners. We are pledged to the standards and to the processes of the industry. So give us a shot. If you're thinking about it, it's a good time to follow up on it. All right, I'm going to give out that second trivia question, which will be good for an attaboy. Right after the break, I didn't want people to take their time in the break and look it up and then maybe forget to tune back in. So we wouldn't want that. All right, I've got a public service announcement after the break and then we'll get back into some taxes and that sort of thing. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the special Christmas Eve edition of the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
This segment sponsored by Robinson Landscape and Maintenance. Call Troy at 662-9794. It's a good time of year to start getting things looking better before it starts growing like crazy come spring. I do have a public service announcement. This is the blend of dogs and charities. There's an event called Bark for Life. It's being held at Dogwood Park on Salisbury Road, January 21, 2017. The website is relayforlife.org/BarkSouthsideFL. And that's you can either contribute to it so it'll go directly to the charities, or you can go participate or watch or whatever you want. But it's a chance to cover two bases that kind of touch everybody's lives. So if you need it, we do have a link on our website, I believe.
We do.
Okay.
It's under the radio and podcast tab, and then you click on partners and scroll down a little bit, you'll see it.
All right. Another, speaking of websites, I was talking last week because of the death of my mother, and Tula was here. She's no longer here, unfortunately. She's here, but not here.
Not doing her show anymore.
Not doing her show. Thank you. That's much better. Anyway, we got talking about the living wills and the healthcare surrogates, that sort of thing, because you know that only half of you have these things, and the other half of you know that you need to do these things. Well, guess what Tula came up with? She has a website where you can do this free. It's sponsored by a group of medical professionals in the state of Florida, and she says it is world-class and right up to date. That website is Honoring Choices FL, HonoringChoicesFL.com. You can go on to HonoringChoicesFlorida.com and prepare wills and health surrogates for free, and according to Tula, and believe me, I trust her on these things. That is a very, very inexpensive way to do something very, very important for you and your family. So, Adam, it's Christmas.
That it is.
Who or what will benefit from this Christmas mania that's going on with people's wallets, checkbooks, credit cards?
Well, yeah, so I sat down and thought about this a little bit this week, and I wanted to come up with some ideas, because I know it's the time of year to give, but there's got to be a way to profit from that, right? We are in the business of making money. So took a look at some of the stocks. Well, the first thing that popped in my mind, because I have kids, was a company called Spin Master. Now, you've probably never heard of Spin Master.
Well, but they do go out and canvass people to find good candidates for political office?
No. Actually, they actually do that with inventors and look for toy products.
Ah.
And so that is why I brought it up. You may, if you have kids, you might have heard of something called a Hatchimal. Yeah, I didn't. The only reason I know about this is my young kids. And I will say Merry Christmas to Justin and Taylor.
Speaking of which, can I interrupt you for just a second?
Sure.
Because you're on toys?
Mm-hmm.
My second trivia question. Lincoln Logs were invented by the son of what famous architect? Extra credit. You get two attaboys if you get the second part. Because of what building?
Okay.
So that's your second one. Won't get you anything, but it'll get you on radio and a big attaboy or two from us. And that's valuable.
Yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm.
So apparently a Hatchimal is kind of the Razor Scooter or the Beanie Baby of the 2016 Christmas season. It's like a big egg that you buy, and then in a month or so after you open it, it hatches and something comes out. I personally don't really get it, but what I do get is that these things are selling on eBay for upwards of $100 a pop, and demand is absolutely through the roof.
So there's nothing else you need to get.
Exactly. So the company that makes them is called Spin Master, and they are a Canadian company that manufactures these little bundles of money. There isn't a ton of available information about the company, but I did find that the stock trades as an ADR under the ticker symbol
American Depository Receipt, meaning simply that you buy and sell it in American dollars, so you don't have to worry about currency risk.
Correct. And it trades under the ticker symbol TOY.
I like that. .TO. Keep it simple.
Apparently, I wasn't the first person to have the idea that this might be a good buy, because it's already up over 60% this year as of about 1 o'clock on Wednesday when I was writing this. It actually pulled back a little since November, but I'm thinking that's just the U.S. dollar rising against the Canadian currency.
Very probable.
The stock trades at a trailing 12-month P.E. ratio of 42 and has a market cap of $3.57 billion. Which I'm thinking is going to increase after this Christmas season.
I wouldn't be a bit surprised.
If you can't afford a Hatchimal, you could actually buy a share of their stock, which is currently trading around $35. So it's almost like you get three shares of stock for every Hatchimal.
One of those might be a better deal than the other one, I'm thinking.
Possibly. Of course, there will be some traditional retailers that benefit from Christmas, especially those at the town center. I don't know if you've been there this week, but it's kind of like playing bumper cars there in the parking lot.
Kind of crazy.
However, my guess is that the retailers with larger online presence will be the ones that benefit the most. As I mentioned earlier, I was able to shift about 99% of my Christmas shopping to online this year, a trend that I know many men who hate shopping as much as I do will follow. I know my Amazon card got quite a workout this month, so Amazon trades under the ticker symbol AMZN, and as of Wednesday was up about 13.5% on the year. And if you go back and look over the past 10 years, you'll see a pretty astounding stock chart. It is absolutely, man, I wish I had the foresight.
I wish you could figure out what the hot toy was going to be every year.
If you're looking for a more seasonal play, think about buying into manufacturers of such things as wrapping paper, bows, Christmas lights, and eggnog. According to a recent Huffington Post taste test, the Lactaid brand eggnog was the best out of the 10 that were sampled.
That's so counterintuitive.
Yeah, usually the ones that cater to a specific subgroup of people, like those who are lactose intolerant, aren't usually the best tasting, but in this case it won, hands down. A little research will tell you that Lactaid is owned by a private company called McNeil Nutritionals LLC. A little more research will tell you that this company is now a subsidiary of Johnson & Johnson. The best part about this seasonal play is that while you get the big jump in eggnog sales, J&J also manufactures Rolaids. So after you drink too much and get some heartburn, you can fix that with a product made by the same company. J&J trades under the ticker symbol JNJ and was up 12.31% as of Wednesday afternoon. However, it did just experience a death cross where the 50-day moving average drops below the 200-day moving average, which is not usually a good sign for the stock, so you may want to hold off on buying that one till post-Christmas.
But that sector is experiencing right now some uneasiness based on the things that Trump has said, and nobody knows exactly what's going to happen. Personally, I think long run, it's one of the great sectors. Healthcare is just, it's a slam dunk sector to me because America's aging.
Yeah,
and I'm helping them do it.
Yep, and 10,000 plus boomers a day retiring, and there's just all sorts of demographics that would support that.
And we've seen it recently in the family. What percentage of your lifetime medical expenditures happen later in your life after 65? It's astounding. So yeah, we're good at keeping them alive, but they spend a lot of money doing it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It's not going to get cheaper, despite what Trump is kind of implying. It's just not. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, and everybody says it can keep a lid on the rate of inflation. It's not just that simple, especially since we've spent about 7 years now with doctors going out of the business, people reluctant to go into medical schools. I'm hoping all that changes a little bit now. I really believe that the attitude of people will improve a lot if we get rid of Obamacare. To me, it's just a big old noose around the neck of the healthcare stocks.
Anytime the government interferes with the free market, nothing good comes of it. I can't name a single instance off the top of my head where that has happened.
Yeah, me neither. All right. Well, speaking of stocks and such, would it be better to buy on a dip? Now, one thing you hear around our office lately a lot is, I'm waiting for a pullback. And frankly, sometimes that very thing comes out of my mouth.
I say it.
Yeah. So the nice people at Bespoke did a little study over a bunch of years back, about 1955. What would happen if you spent a dollar cost averaging $100 a month, every month, on the same day, and put it into the S&P 500? Or you saved that money until you had a 3% drop month over month, and then you invested whatever amount you have put in there. And I'll give you the answer to that after the break. And it is perhaps not quite as intuitive as you might think. It seems like a good idea. Will it play out to be a good idea? I'm not too sure. Lines are open. 222-TALK. That's 904-222-8255. Just want to say Merry Christmas or take a shot at the new trivia question or anything like that. Give us a call. We'll be here for another few minutes. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.
Let's get back to the Van Wee Financial Hour on AM 600 and FM 100.3, The Answer. To be a part of the program, call 222-TALK. That's 222-8255. Once again, here's Stephen and Adam Van Wee.
Welcome back to the live Christmas Eve special edition of the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And before the break, I brought up a little interesting study from the Bespoke people. These people are incredible researchers. They have good ideas and they do good research. Anyway, would it be better over time to do dollar cost averaging, which simply means you invest the same amount of money every month on the exact same day over a long period of time? Or should you try to be a cheapskate and you wait until month over month the market has dropped 3%, and then whatever number of months it's been since you last invested, you put that many hundred in it? As it turns out, from 1955 to present, the dollar cost average account would be over $5 million right now, which really makes it a good idea in general, in my humble opinion. But the interesting thing was that for the same amount of time, being a cheapskate got you to the end value of $1.16 million.
That's a big difference.
Remember the old saying, it's not timing the market that counts, it's time in the market that counts. And that's the lesson from that one. All right, you had...
Oh, I have a scam alert.
Yes.
So
another ripoff artist, people.
Yep, they're out there. You need to be careful when you are talking about your money because people want it and they are not afraid to break the law to do it. This guy, Ash Narayan, he was the former managing director of the Orange County, California office of RGD Capital Management. He scammed quite a few professional athletes, including Mark Sanchez of the Dallas Cowboys quarterback fame, baseball pitcher Jake Peavy of the Giants, and Roy Oswalt of the Colorado Rockies for about $33 million of his clients' money in total. And what he did was directed his clients to invest in a startup that it just so happened that he sat on the board of. It was a fledgling online sports and entertainment company, and shockingly, it went belly up, and they lost all their money. And then this guy, Ash, was ordered to pay $1.5 million in disengorgement along with $350,000 in civil penalties. But as far as the athlete's money, probably not ever going to see that again. So be careful. Don't.
Athletes. The leagues do a terrible job directing athletes to financial advisors. It's been a bugaboo of mine for a long time. There's not much we can do about it. They make the barriers to entry, and they're almost impossible. So you get nothing but hot shots, and some of which I'm sure are quite good, many of which I know are not.
Well, you read about it all the time. There's just so many pro athletes who have been scammed out of their money. It's terrible.
We're talking a lot of money, too.
Yeah.
All right. What famous architect's son invented Lincoln Logs, and why? What building was it that caused that? That question is still out there. All right, it's not too late. We got a week left in December. There's still things you can do with your taxes, but there aren't too many of them, and you're going to have to move quickly. First off, those of you with a 401k, do you have a payroll left this month? If you do and you have not maxed out your contribution for the year, maybe it would be a good time to run quickly Monday to your employer and say, and my last payroll, would you withhold more money for me? That'll get it deductible right now.
Unfortunately, it might be too late for most people.
Most people probably can't.
Some companies might be able
to. Some can. Now, the same does not hold true for the individual retirement account. This one you can think about later if you want to. The IRA, traditional deductible IRA, your contribution time limit goes all the way out to the day you file your taxes. So if you get to next year and you look at your return and you say, oh my gosh, I'm paying more taxes than I wanted to, why don't I put some money in an IRA instead? You can do that. And to make it really easy, and once in a while IRS gets something right, and they did it on this one, you can actually direct a portion of your refund directly to an IRA. Out of sight, out of mind, never see the money, reduces your taxes right there on the spot. So that's a good idea. Tax deductible expenses. There are some things you can do, like perhaps if you have a January 1st or 2nd mortgage payment, get a hold of your financial institution and say, I would like to pay that one on December 29th or 30th. And that way, when you get your 1099 for the interest you paid this year, it will have that extra payment on it. Why would you consider this, really? Well, two reasons. One, it's always better to pay taxes on money a year later than you otherwise would have. But there's an outstanding chance next year that your tax rates are going to go down. There is an equally outstanding chance that you're not going to get all the deductions that you had. That's the trade-off for a lower rate. The Trump plan limits deductions in some arenas and lowers tax rates for almost everyone. There are some exceptions. There are too few to bother wasting a lot of time on. So if you think that there's a good chance that you'll be better off next year with a lower tax rate, you might want to make that extra payment. Ditto for charitable contributions. If you're a charitable type and you haven't maxed out your budget for charitable contributions yet, get those checks in the mail and make darn sure you get a receipt when you do. Also check that the charity that you are sending it to is listed in Publication 526 at the IRS to make darn sure that that is a qualified charity. Otherwise, you may wind up in what we call the charitable trap, where you thought it was deductible, but it actually isn't. Those of you 70 and a half or older and have traditional IRAs, you are allowed to take your required minimum distribution by doing a direct check from your IRA to the charity. What does this do? It keeps your gross income from going up, and it keeps you from taking a charitable deduction, but those don't always offset dollar for dollar. In fact, they seldom offset dollar for dollar. So if you make it directly, you can save that. Now, that becomes really expensive when you start talking about long-term gains, which I'll get to after I talk about currently deductible medical expenses. Medical expenses are deductible to the extent that if you're under 65, they exceed 10% of your adjusted gross income. At 65, that drops down to 7.5%. What's adjusted gross income? Those of you who either file a 1040 or have someone file it for you, if you go to page one, it starts with wages, salaries, and tips, and so on. The number at the bottom of page one is your adjusted gross income, and that is absolutely critical to your tax planning. If you can exceed 7.5% if you're 65 or 10% of that by making some more medical payments, things that you owe already but you haven't paid, you can get that in on a deductible basis yet this year. Also, planning your income, which sounds kind of stupid sometimes, but if you're a small business, for instance, and somebody owes you a little money, you might call them up and say, take a week off. I'd rather have that money in January than in December. Then it won't be taxable to you, assuming you file on a cash basis, which most small businesses do. Now, capital gains. Capital gains rates went up under Obama. They used to be 10 or 15%. They're now, they range from about 15 to 23.8. I don't see anything except the Obama surtax that is scheduled to change. That's the bad news. The good news is the lowest two tax brackets do not pay capital gains. We spend a lot of time here talking about things like harvesting losses in the stock market. You sell your losers late in the year, it becomes a deductible expense. But what we don't talk about very often is taking your gains. What if you are in the top two brackets, or bottom two brackets, I mean, and that takes you up to about $75,000 if you're a couple, and I think it's $30,000, $36,000 or something. You can check that on the charts for a single person. So let's say you're a couple and your adjusted gross income looks like it's going to be about $60,000. Now, the easy way to tell that, pull out last year's return, look at what it says on page one, and see what changes are going to occur for 2016. So if you see some gaps in there between that and the end of that 15% bracket, all you have to do is plan to take some profits in there, and you know that the capital gain will add to your adjusted gross income, but if it still stays under those limits, you're not going to pay any taxes on those capital gains. That is the best deal going out there. And I'm really surprised they left it alone. I'll be even more surprised if they leave it alone again, but I haven't heard anything to the contrary. But don't forget, when you're looking at tax harvesting, the tax harvesting actually is a bi-directional thing. You just never know. Lincoln Logs were invented by a fellow named John Lloyd Wright. That may sound a little bit familiar to those of you who appreciate architecture. Frank Lloyd Wright, who actually grew up about 12 miles from the house I grew up in, a very famous architect, and the Japanese government did something absolutely against all tradition. They hired an American architect when they wanted to replace the Imperial Hotel. John Lloyd Wright was the construction manager on the project. The project was built with a series of bars around the edges with padding in between so it could rock and roll during an earthquake. He was rewarded on the day it opened with a gigantic earthquake. Merry Christmas, everyone. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour. See you next week live.